Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to The Roar. This is episode 11. And my name is Dr. Ben Cherry, and I am the faculty athletics rep at California State University San Marcos. Go Cougars. So this podcast has been brought to you by the CSUSM Cougar Athletics Program. And I just want to welcome you all student athletes that are here. You've been selected to attend today because you are this year's recipients of the FAR, or FAR, Cougar All Academic Team. You earned the highest GPA on your team, among your teammates, for the past calendar year. So we're looking at spring 2020 and fall 2020 grades. So as you know, 2020 was an incredible year for many, many reasons. And to know that you and the other folks here on this call, you all stood out above the rest of your teammates in what was an incredibly successful academic year for our athletics program. As you know, our spring GPA from spring 2020 as an athletics department was our highest GPA ever recorded. And then the fall was our second highest GPA ever recorded for our athletics program. So to know that you are the cream of the crop, you are the top of your team's academic prowess, you should be congratulated for that. So let me congratulate you just with a hand clap, and anyone who's watching this right now, or we'll be listening to it later on, I'm sure they'll be congratulating you as well. So here we have it. And not all the members of our Cougar All Academic Team were able to be here today. But I say what we start with, I've got a few questions, but before we begin with my questions, and then we're gonna do a lightning round, it's gonna be all kinds of fun. But before we do that, let's just go through, just say your name, the sport, and your major. So just super easy. And I'll call you out by who I have here on the call. So let's start with Michaela. And you can unmute, of course, to talk. So go right ahead, Michaela.
Hi, my name's Michaela. I run for cross country and track and field, and I'm majoring in human development.
Super, thanks. How about you, Connor?
Hi, everybody. My name is Connor Nelson. I'm on the men's golf team, and I'll be graduating this year with a degree in criminology.
That's fantastic. And then Kayla from women's basketball, or sorry, women's volleyball. My apologies.
That's all right. My name is Kayla De Los Reyes, and I'm on the women's volleyball team. I'm studying business administration, global supply chain management.
Super. How about you, Cece?
Hello, I'm Cece. I'm on the women's track and field team, and I am majoring in human development.
Right on. And Claire.
Hello, I'm Claire. I'm on the women's golf team, and my major is communication.
Very good. And Jacob.
What's up, guys? I'm Jacob Johnston. I'm on the men's soccer team, and I'm majoring in business management.
Right on. And Trevor.
Hi, my name's Trevor. I run on men's cross country, and I'm a communication major.
Perfect. Carly.
Hi, I'm Carly. I'm on the softball team, and I'm a business management major.
All right. And Olivia.
Hi, everyone. I'm Olivia Burnson, and I'm on the women's soccer team, and I'm majoring in global studies.
Perfect. And then Dominique.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dominique Hernandez, and I'm a part of the women's basketball team, and I'm majoring in business management.
Super duper. So as many of you know, I teach in the College of Business, and I assure you, I did not hand select the business students on this list. You all, as I mentioned earlier, you earned your place on this list by being the top GPA on your team for the past calendar year. So congratulations to all of you for that. So I thought we'd start with a question about work ethic, because as student athletes, you know that to be a college athlete, student athlete, you had to have worked hard at your sport to be distinguishable and recognizable by the coaches who recruited you to come to Cal State San Marcos. So what I thought we could do, I'm just going to pick on a couple of you, and I think we'll start with our students who've been here a little bit longer or who are graduating, to just talk about your academic work ethic in three words, okay? Now, if you go to four words, you won't be in trouble. I'm not grading you on this, but in three words, what would you describe your academic work ethic to be like? Let's start with Connor, and then Carly, you are in the warm-up circle. Is that what it's called?
On deck.
There you go. Okay, Connor, you're on the tee.
All right, so I guess for three words, I'd have to say organized would be number one. I think determination is important. And then I guess maybe foresight, the ability to like look in, into the future and realize that it's not that long and semesters go by really quick.
So. All right, so like planning ahead?
Yeah.
And okay, very good. I might come back to that topic a little bit later. Carly, you wanna go?
I'd say time, determination, and he just said one that I was going to say and then I forget it. So time, determination, and focus was my last one.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, and I should have mentioned one of my key rules for all this is you can't use somebody else's answer. So it benefits you to go early. But thank you, Carly, for that. And how about you, Claire? You've been around for a while.
I was going to just say a phrase. I wasn't going to think of like three different words. It was
that's
just,
okay. We'll take it.
Just kind of a, you don't really think about it. You just have the assignments, you have the exams and you just do it. It's not like
just
an
get
option.
It done.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not, I think I interrupted you there at the end. Would you mind saying that again?
Yeah. I just don't consider it an option, like not to complete an assignment.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks. Any of the rest of you want to add in your three words or your phrase that helps you academically in your work ethic? Just go ahead and unmute.
Mine is always stay ahead. I think that's important. Just to getting things done early to give yourself just time and energy to study and complete other assignments, projects, or even like tests and all that.
Okay, perfect. So I think we're getting an overall theme here of it's important to be looking forward, to be anticipating what's happening in kind of the rhythm of the semester, the dips and turns and the hills and also the valleys as they come. So thank you for answering that. Anyone else want to share before we move on to the next question?
I think it's important to remain flexible as well, just because like as an athlete, sometimes certain things come up that you weren't expecting that you're going to last minute travel over the weekend. So it's important to be able to change your schedule around in order to fit in homework time as well.
Okay, good. So being adaptable and realizing that as a student athlete, there's a lot of change that can come at you without much notice. Super. Thanks for that, Cece. So let's go now to the athletic side of your life. Just briefly, would anybody like to describe your kind of pregame or pre-run or pre-round routine? Some like things that you do regularly before you start your sport before the on a day of competition. Anybody want to jump in with just a brief description of that? We haven't heard from you yet, Michaela or Olivia.
I can go. I was trying to think about this and I can't really remember in detail what we used to do before game because it's been so long, but I do know that drink a lot of water, lots and lots of water, and then just kind of stay like really close to my teammates, like talk about everything, like what we want to do, like what we want to achieve during the game, not just like we're trying to win, but more going to detail, like, okay, let's focus on communication today, or like focus on connecting 15 passes or stuff, just small things like that, I would say.
Yeah, so I like that drinking water thing. Olivia, I'm going to now turn this into an academic question. So Michaela, you're off the hook for just a second, but Olivia, so you talked about drinking lots of water before the game and then focusing on communication with your teammates and even some small goals, like let's connect 15 passes. Is there an academic corollary or equivalent to that that you would say is kind of like your pre-class routine or pre-exam routine that you might share with others?
Yeah. So you mean like if they're similar, like kind of a pre, okay. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's important to stay prepared and also drink a lot of water and maybe talk to your classmates, you know, trying to talk to each other, just discuss maybe what the exam is going to be about. Cause I think it always helps to talk about things and not be too much in your head, even if it's a game or if it's an exam or whatever you're feeling stressed about. It's always helpful to talk to people, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. Cool. Okay, Michaela, you're now on the seat to tell us about your pre-run routine.
All right. Well, the first thing that comes to mind is different races require different fuel. So it's kind of important to think way before your races, like, okay, what am I going to eat to get the necessary energy, and that's not going to leave me bloated and feeling heavy. And then another thing, especially for cross countries, is like communicating with the team, because we like to work together in our little workout groups. And it's like, how are we going to push off of each other and motivate each other throughout the race as well?
All right. So as a professor now, I'm wondering, how does that relate to pre-class routines or pre-exam routines? Do you work with other people in exams? Is that acceptable? Is that forbidden? Tell us your thoughts on that.
It doesn't necessarily carry over unless it's something like studying, which of course, like, we'll share Quizlets with each other sometimes if someone's like needing a little extra help, or like we'll motivate each other, like, oh, you got this, don't worry about it, or things like that. But we don't necessarily like work together in that sense for tests and exams.
Understood. Yeah. I like the example that different races call for kind of different fueling. I think that's really interesting, because the comparison, I guess, or the relationship to some classes, there's a lot more fuel needed for them because of the challenge that you already know, the academic rigor of the course, or maybe the subject is more challenging to you. So excellent point there. Anybody else want to tell me, maybe Kayla, you want to tell me about your pregame routine on the women's volleyball team?
Yeah, so one of the things that I like to do is visualize how the game will go, both for myself and for my team. And I really think that carries over to academics and studying, and in terms of going in with a positive mindset, right? And so if you go into the game with a negative mindset, that's most likely how your playing will come out. And so if you go into a negative mindset on your test or your exam, then you probably won't perform as well because you don't have the confidence that you know that you have. And so I feel that if you're able to visualize yourself studying hard, getting that high grade, then you'll be able to achieve that at the end of your exam.
Nice. So can you put a little bit more flesh on that concept of visualization, like how you actually do that academically? Because that might be a new idea for some students, and I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, so for visualizing in terms of academics, it's more just coming in with confidence and knowing that you are capable of whatever the test may bring. For visualization, for volleyball, I think it's kind of easier to think about how I'm going to pass or how I'm going to serve. For academics, it's a little more difficult. It's a little more abstract because, like I said, it's more about confidence and just turning your mindset into a positive one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Yeah, confidence going into exams. As a father, I've seen my own children, deal positively and negatively with having confidence going into exams. And I'm wondering if anybody, the rest of you, maybe Dom or Trevor or Cece, how do you build confidence in yourself before an exam or before something really important like a presentation? I know some of you are business students and communication students. Presentations are a big piece. How do you get confidence when it seems like confidence is a scarce commodity?
So in high school, my English teacher taught my entire class like the superhero pose, where essentially you make yourself really big and you're supposed to gain confidence. And so like starting in high school, like before every single track meet, if there are any videos like pre-race, you'll see me like on the starting line, like making myself really big. And so I remember doing that for my speech class, or oral communications class. Freshman year, before speeches, I'd be like in my seat and I'd be like trying to make myself big just to like gain a little confidence. But I don't know if it's a superstition, but it always worked for me. And I always tell my classmates and teammates, like, make yourself big. You'll feel really confident doing whatever you do.
I love that. We need to find some of the footage of that. I think that would be great to splice in here. Tyler and Mindy can do that. Maybe that would be awesome. But when you were talking about that, I remembered when I was on the job market for a professor job, this was 20 plus years ago. And one of the schools I was interviewing at was University of Notre Dame. And it was cold, snowing in like early January. And I stood in my hotel room, like getting ready for what was a pretty big day in my career. And I remember thinking about the movie Rudy. I hope some of you have seen that, so you don't know my old movie reference here, but I was like pumping myself up. Like, I'm at Notre Dame. I'm like Rudy right now going into this presentation, this job interview for all day. So I love that, Cece. That's really cool. Dom, I saw you unmuted and then you didn't want to jump on Cece's story. So go right ahead. Tell us how you get your confidence.
Actually, just going right off of what Cece said, in my organizational management class, we just watched a TED Talk regarding, you know, power poses and how powerful you feel in that moment and how your right hormone level will go up, thus making you feel more powerful when you're bigger and performing well, whether it's, you know, an interview or a race or a test. But I feel like to gain confidence, I just really prepare and I study as much as I can, because that's the only way I'm going to feel like, okay, I'm ready for this. And just, you know, talking with my classmates and seeing like, okay, how did you guys prepare, and comparing it to like what I did and seeing if there's anything I need to, you know, improve or spend a little more time on.
Right. So the power pose is going to be even more powerful when you've got the preparation behind it, I think, is what Dom is also adding to what Cece said. As you were talking about power pose, I was thinking about a fairly famous soccer player, football player in the world, Cristiano Ronaldo. And I'm sure Jacob knows exactly who I'm talking about here, and some of you probably do too. If you've ever seen him take a free kick, he has a very proud chest. I mean, he's a very fit guy, but he has a very proud chest. And I would tell some of the student athletes that I used to coach, get a proud chest. You don't have to be Cristiano Ronaldo to do that. And so I think the power posing academically is really interesting too, that he's not standing proudly, or Cece's not standing proudly, or Dom's not standing proudly just because they're arrogant. They're not at all. They're prepared. And I think that's an excellent point. Trevor, what do you want to add to the mix about confidence? Do you have anything?
Yeah, I think for me at least, you know, and it applies both to academics and for athletics, just kind of accepting that you've put in the work, you know. I feel so often with running especially and with academics, you know, you can always do more. There's always that thought that, oh, I could have studied more, or I could have trained more. But at the end of the day, you know, when you're walking into that room to take the test, or when you're stepping up to that starting line to take the race, you know, you've done everything you can. So just accept it and say, I've done all I can. There's nothing more I can do to prepare for this. Let's just do it. I'm prepared.
Nice. Yeah. I like that you said take the exam or take the race. It's like you have ownership in that. If you're not just receiving it, right? You're not just like, oh, you know, here's the exam, put it on me. But you're like, I'm taking it. Like at the top of my exams, probably for the past 20 plus years, I've put exam equals in quotes, show what you know. And it's really, that's what I believe as a professor. It's your opportunity to show what you know. And if you don't know it, that's going to show. And if you do know it, that's going to show too. So I love that idea of taking the race and taking the exam as being a very active, engaged experience. Very good. So let's switch gears a little bit and let's talk about, for the past year, much of your academic experience has been happening like this, you know, in boxes, on Zoom, in your room, in your family room, wherever you sometimes at a park, I suppose. How have you tried to make yourself distinctive to your professors and your other classmates? And this might feel a little weird, like, hey, I'm kind of talking about myself. I'm not asking you to boast. I'm asking you just to think, what do you think sets you apart in an environment of virtual Zoom life or online learning? Can you think of any tips that maybe you'd give to an incoming student about how to set oneself apart or be distinctive to classmates and professors? And maybe Claire or Jacob, you guys want to jump in?
Yeah.
Jacob, so there you go.
One thing I think that's important in this learning environment is to just imagine it as you're in a classroom, which means having, you know, your camera on, having your computer at a desk, having some notes next to your computer, because it kind of, from what I've heard from, you know, other athletes, is it's just, you know, it's tempting to, you know, have your camera off and you know, lay in your bed and just watch and be there and get the participation points but not really learn, and you know, not get prepare yourself well for, you know, the exams and tests. So I just think it's important, because eventually, you know, we're gonna be back in a classroom, and trying to mirror, you know, classroom and computer, and just having, you know, your little space and being prepared. And I think that professors, I think they appreciate it because they realize you're trying to, you know, emulate what it would be like in a classroom. And I think that if a professor likes you and, you know, they appreciate what you're doing, that's always going to take you far. And that's always important. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Jacob. Appreciate that. Claire or Connor from golf, either of you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I completely second that. I think also like sending an email to the professor, just introducing yourself. That's kind of like something that we used to do when we were in person. At the end of class, we just walk up to the professor at the end of class, introduce ourselves, let us know or let them know who we are and like kind of who we are as it relates to the campus and athletics. And like now it's difficult. I do find it difficult without like having any classmates to kind of lean on. Like we talked about having study groups and just like having people to ask in your class about like, how are you studying for this? How are you doing this assignment? Like if you have any confusion. But there's ways that you can reach out to people in your class and kind of create virtual study groups, which is helpful as well.
All right, cool. Connor, you have anything else you'd add as a tip on how to distinguish yourself academically during these times?
Yeah, I mean, backing off of what Claire said a little bit, I think we all know that communication is important in pretty much all things in life. So whether that's with your coach, professors, or classmates, what I've learned is professors, they pretty much all of them want to help you. So if you have scheduling conflicts or anything that comes up, especially in a virtual learning world, like they usually want to help. So sending that email and making sure you're communicating what's going on, I think is super important.
Yeah, right on. Very good. Cool. Let's do a little lightning round since we're about, I don't know, 20 or 25 minutes in on this. I think this might work. We'll do it by show of hands. So I'm going to say, for example, the first one is laptop or tablet. So when I say laptop, raise your hand. If I say tablet and you'd rather be on a tablet than a laptop. Actually, no, let's not do that one. That's too close. Let's do laptop or tablet or pencil and paper. You know what I mean? Like, so how many of you are like the computer people? I'd like to be taking notes with a computer. Okay, handful of you. All right. And then how about the rest of you? You like pencil, paper, pen, that kind of thing. All right. All right, cool. That's good to know. How about if you have a pencil or a pen in your hand, black ink or blue ink? All right, so let's go black ink. Okay, and then the blue ink. And then some of you are like, wait, you're not saying the color I have. So unmute yourself. You tell us your preferred color you study with or you learn with. You're all either black or blue, seriously? All right.
Oh,
there you go, Cece. Yes, that's what I have right here too. Right, same thing, yeah. And I've told some student athletes this already, so if I've told you this, sorry. But when I was a student, and I still have them just right next to me on my desk even, I would usually have three pens in my hand. I'm left-handed, so three pens in my hand at a time when I was a college student. And I had my main color, which usually wasn't black. It was usually blue, but this was black. So I'd take most of my notes in that main color. And then I'd use one of the other two colors and it didn't really matter, just to add life to my notes. So this was before you walked with laptops and tablets and stuff to class, or cell phones for that matter. And so I would try to bring life to my note-taking by having colors when I was taking notes. Nobody ever made fun of me. I always thought I was going to be made fun of, but at least nobody had made fun of me to my face. And it actually brought a lot of interest to taking notes, because if I felt like doodling relevant to the class, always, I'm sure. But if I felt like doodling, you know, it at least gave me something to doodle with. And if I wanted to bring attention to something that the professor seemed to be highlighting over and over again, you know, I could use that other color to bring attention to it. So anyway, another lightning round question. Slow and steady study or all night cram session? All right, so the first one, slow and steady study. Raise your hand if you're that. Okay, and then the cram session, folks. Okay, so this, I love that there's diversity here, because I was like, man, I hope everybody doesn't say slow and steady, because you think that's like the professor response, you know, like, of course he wants us to say this. No, the reality is some of you learn, not only learn differently, but you prepare differently. And so the pressure, the time pressure, accentuates your learning for those of you, I'm guessing, that are more cram. And for those of you like slow and steady, it's probably part of your personality that like you like things to be more predictable, less variability for change, that sort of thing. Anybody want to expand on their answer to that question? Go ahead and unmute. Carly,
Yeah, I do a little bit of both. I feel like I usually kind of like get everything together, like slow and steady, and then kind of study it, but mainly like kind of cram at the end a little bit. Just kind of, so it's like kind of a combination of both, depending on what it is too.
All right, good. Anyone else want to share about your answer there? Kayla.
Yeah, mine was actually kind of say the same thing as Carly. It's kind of a combination of both. For me, the slow and steady part is just knowing the general concepts so that I know kind of the big picture of what to expect. And then the cram session is more of the details that I'm like, I need to remember for the next day. And so, yeah, it's definitely a combination of both for me also.
Okay, very good. I'm so glad you all had variability in that answer. All right, still talking about studying, study alone or study group? So study alone. Okay, I was definitely a study alone for sure. Study group. Okay, a few, yeah. And I think we heard that in some of your answers earlier on. We talked about like pre-exam routines or pre-class routines. All right, excellent. Let's keep going. Flashcards or Quizlet? So flashcards. I was flashcards because Quizlet didn't exist. Okay. All right. And then Quizlet. All right. Or something else that Ben doesn't know about because he's too old. All right. So what else are you using to like try to retain information by studying it? You know, just good old fashioned notes or what else are you using? What other tools?
Sometimes, so like before exams and stuff, just to get a better understanding of certain definitions, I'll go on YouTube to watch like Crash Course or something like that that pertains to my major.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's very good. Back in the day, we didn't have YouTube. So we did have, what are those things called? There were books that you could buy that were like, I can't think of it. I think it's a person's name. I'm a bad host, okay? I've never done this before. Just, you know, edit this part out, Mindy and Tyler, when you get to it. Anyway, cool. Anything else that you guys use for studying?
I usually just make a study guide, and the stuff I really need to study, I just like highlight it and then keep going back to that.
Yeah, cool. For me, it was flashcards. I liked flashcards because you have to take time to prepare the cards, which is learning, but then also, when I knew that piece of material, I could like set it aside, and it felt so good to be like setting more things aside. And then the things that I really needed to study over and over again, it's like I blistered them into my head until I just had a few things left. So cool, good strategies there. All right, multiple choice or short answer? Multiple choice. All right, some of you nailed, okay. Short answer, okay. How about long essay answer? You really like those. Okay, Olivia. Okay, if you're all right, I like that. Yeah. Yeah, cool. All right, perfect. And last one, luck or preparation? Luck or preparation? Luck. Okay, I think you got the right answer on this one, preparation, right? Some golfer, was it Tiger Woods that said, maybe Connor knows, somebody or Claire knows. So I think it was Tiger Woods said something about luck is really preparation, something or other. I don't know. There's something about, there's a famous golf quote about that. Is that right, Connor?
Yeah, he said the more you prepare, the luckier you get.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That's a pretty good quote, I think. The more you prepare, the better prepared you are, the more lucky you are. So, all right. We're just going to wrap it up with just a few more questions. It's kind of lightning round-ish. Don't spend too much time thinking about this, but just first response, okay? Most inspiring teammate in the past year. Now, don't reveal anything that's personal about them, but like, which of your teammates has really inspired you? Anybody want to share?
I'll go.
All right, cool, Michaela.
I can see their name, right?
Yeah, you can, as long as nothing personal. You know what I mean? Like, don't reveal their life story, you know, without them knowing. So
Clarissa Garcia, on my team. She's just incredibly talented, both on and off the track and the courses. She's very academically driven, and she's just very kind to everyone around her. She's like such a joy to be around, and her talent as well is just something that like we all kind of aspire to be, as well as like her character. So I think she's really great.
Wow, talent and character in the same person. That's awesome. Thanks, Michaela. Clarissa is quite a student, quite a person. Yeah, that's awesome. Anybody else want to share? You don't all have to share. Jacob, I see you unmuted. Yeah.
So I have a freshman on my team who, you know, from my understanding has had a difficult year with COVID. But even through it, you know, me and my roommates, Corbin and John, we go out to a local club team and train 2 days a week. And his name's Joey Diaz. He's commuting two days a week from Yorba Linda all the way down here, as well as to Temecula on the weekends for games. And I know he's got, you know, a lot of other responsibilities and priorities. And just as, you know, a freshman who hasn't, you know, been on campus and been, you know, around the guys, it's inspiring to see that, you know, he's putting forth a lot of time and effort over other things he could be, you know, to make himself better as a teammate and just being here for us. Yeah, it's awesome.
Right. Yeah, cool. And Jacob, you had your first season last year with Cal State San Marcos, but because soccer's in the fall, you were able to have a full season. So you can probably kind of relate to what his work ethic has had to be, knowing that he hasn't been able to have a full season like you've had and stuff. So yeah. As a freshman. Yeah. Yeah, right on. Anybody else want to share? And again, you don't have to, but just curious if your teammates are inspiring you in any way. Olivia.
I was going to say Emily Garrett, just because she's been very welcoming and very inclusive when it comes to the freshmen. And some of them just moved down to San Marcos for the first time. And she's been very on top of just bringing them into the team, inviting them to go play or to go to the beach, just small things like that. And I feel like that's very important because she did the same thing for me when I was new here, when I transferred. So that's very important. I just feel like she's doing a great job with that. And I think they appreciate it a lot.
Yeah. So looking after the new people. I love that. And bringing them into the fold. Yeah, that's cool. I see a lot of nodding of heads. So if anybody else wants to share, you can, but I'll move to the last question. Anyone else want to share? Okay. The last question is, I presume some of you have LinkedIn, or at least you have some sort of media that indicates your status. And I'm guessing on some of those media sites, you indicate your status as an NCAA Division II student athlete. Is that probably true? Somewhere it indicates. So at some point you're going to change your identity, at least that part of your identity. It's no longer going to be NCAA Division II student athlete. What do you most want to put in that place? Of that, because it's an important part of your, I mean, you're a student athlete, it's part of your identity. What do you hope to put in its place? So it could be your dream job, your dream career or industry, or it might be a role that you hope to take. Does anybody want to share what you're hoping at some point in your life to change your status profile and post this new thing, this new role, this new job, this new industry that you're in? Anybody want to share? So it's kind of long look into the future for some of you, a little shorter look into the future for people like Carly and Connor who are graduating. Uh-oh.
I'd say,
Carly, yes.
I'd say probably entrepreneur or something like that. All right. Just like owner of a business or something.
Right on. You all have probably seen or heard that NCAA puts out videos about kind of life after being student athletes, because a very small percentage of student athletes become professionals in their athletics careers. So that's awesome. Carly Slack, softball turned entrepreneur. Okay, cool. Who else?
I guess so. Actually, July 6th, I'll be leaving to go to basic training for the Air Force. So I put airman there again.
Nice. And so would you be eventually, you, because you're a college graduate, you would be getting you become an officer, is that correct?
Yeah, I could go to officer training school.
Off school. Okay, cool. That's awesome, Connor. Thanks for doing that. Anyone else? Claire, you're getting closer, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be graduating in the summer, kind of crammed in all the last of my classes. I don't know, I feel like so much is up in the air. I feel like there's a lot of opportunities for me, so I'm not fully set on one path. I'm just going to, you know, start with one and see what comes from it. You know, I'm sure I'm going to try different things, but I'll settle right somewhere. And yeah.
Yeah. And you're okay with the curvedness of that path and multiple paths, multiple kind of decision points along the way. Anyone else want to share? Thank you for that, Claire. Anyone else want to share?
I was going to say, I'm doing the same thing as Claire. I'm graduating in the summer. So I kind of just put all my, the rest of my classes in June. But I would like to put like correspondent or reporter for the United Nations at some point in my life. That's what I want to be.
That's fantastic. So for the listeners and the viewers who don't know your backstory, Olivia, can you just tell us why that seems like a good fit for you?
Yeah. So I'm from Sweden and I moved here for college and for soccer. And my major is global studies, which is international relations. So what I want to work with is like find peaceful solutions to conflict and just report on like current events around the globe, because I feel like it's important. And since I've lived both here and in Europe, I kind of see both sides of like different things that have happened in the past and that might happen in the future. And I feel like it's important to like stay connected throughout like different areas of the world.
That's awesome. So you all can say you knew Olivia Berntsen before she was a correspondent for whoever, news organization. That's cool. That's so great. Well, anything else anybody wants to share before we sign off? Okay. Well, I will say this one more time. I'm incredibly proud of each of you. While I don't know you all that well, there are some of you I know really well, just because of the years that we've spent together or the different opportunities we've explored together. And I just want to say I'm very, very proud of you. And you're setting such a high mark for our athletics program. You're representing your fellow student athletes in really admirable ways. And you're redefining, probably for faculty and staff and other students on campus, what it means to be a dedicated student who also is juggling the challenges of also being a student athlete and a roommate, and some of you are employed, probably many of you are employed. So you're doing all these different things and you're balancing in such remarkable ways. I just congratulate you all for being named to this, the 2020 All Academic Team. And so thanks so much for playing along with my hosting, and I wish you all the best as you finish out this semester. So you guys take care and let's go Cougars.
All right, real quick.